And Yahweh, we thank you for these words and for blessing everyone here in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to fire off here real quick. Got a few extra scriptures in here, so I put the pages on there. I better silence my phone. I was thinking the other day when about fellowship, and I was kind of laughing and smiling about some of the mishaps and bloopers that we've had at fellowships. Camera comes on before we realize it, says maybe say a couple things like, whoops, didn't really need that on camera. Had a bloody nose, a leaky basement. I'm like going, and yeah, while I'm doing this, I'm moving my thing here, my table, this thing cracked, and I'm like going, hopefully that will hold for the night. But if it falls down, I'll just pick it back up and we'll be good. We started off on a cooler, so we kind of progressed a little bit here. But all right, guys, here we go. We're going to be talking about two things. It's kind of a twofold little teaching here. First of all, it's truth. The truth is what? Subjective? Nope, absolutely not. Truth is what truth is. So here's a little study here. This was about 2 years ago, a little over a year and a half, I guess. Adults 18 to 90, and asked if they believe moral truth is relative to circumstance. So we're talking about truth, and if it's relative to moral. So in other words, what we're saying is truth and morality, do they align, or can truth say whatever it wants to be for morality? Okay, this is what they're asking. Now, to believe it's moral, the relative circumstances, 44% yes, good. 35% no. 21% said they hadn't really considered it. Okay. This guy here, the president, David What's-His-Face, contends that the research indicates a brand of morality that's developed in America. He insists that Christianity, for the most part, has been removed as a culture's moral norm and replaced with a new moral code. Now, I would say that that's not exactly true. It's a trend, and it's a higher number, but I still see out, and I'm looking out, and even things that I listen to on the internet, on the radio, I still look at it, and I'm like going, I see it in the world. I don't see it. I see what's happening is there's a division. Okay, there's not going to be as many people sitting on the fence. You're going to be pulled to one side or the other. Okay, and so here's what he said. These six tenets were. This is the guy who does that research, Zabarna. Tenet one: the best way of finding yourself is by looking within yourself. Okay, this is all just garbage too. Don't anybody take these as, oh, this is what Tim's teaching. Okay, this is junk. But I'm showing you this because this is what he is saying is new tenets of what's taking place. People should not criticize someone else's life choices. How convenient. Okay? To be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. And I'm like going, well, it's your possessions. That's what I desire the most. So I should look at doing that, you know? But this is it. This is this new age thing. The highest goal of life is to enjoy it as much as possible. People can believe whatever they want as long as those beliefs don't affect society. That's a very big one right now. As long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. Well, now let me ask a question. Did those other people in Sodom and Gomorrah, did they get hurt? Okay? Yeah, okay, it hurt that whole place. That whole place was destroyed. Any kind of sexual expression between two consenting adults is acceptable. This is the guy who did this survey, the Barna guy who does surveys all the time. Here's what he came up with. So I'm like going, okay, interesting, and I do see this. So this is where we look at it and say, what's happening with moral truth? So let's start off here in Daniel, and all these scriptures that I have, I put the page right next to it so we can kind of go a little bit quicker to them. So page 855, and I'll ask for some help reading here tonight. 855, chapter 9, 13 and 14. Which one of you kids gets there first, holler out, and you can read. Okay, go ahead.
Even as written in the law of Moses, hath all this calamity come in upon us. Yet entreated we not the face of Yahweh, our Elohim, by turning away from our iniquities, and by getting intelligence and truth. Therefore hath Yahweh kept watch for the calamity and brought it upon us, it in upon us, for righteous is Yahweh our God, our Elohim, concerning all his deeds which he hath done, seeking that we had not hearkened unto his voice.
That's it. And so we see that in verse 13. Intelligence in thy truth. And in 14, that basically that brought in upon us for not concerning, for not being righteous. So truth and righteousness, okay, go together very, very well. It's like a candy bar, you know. The two things go together, truth and righteousness. And so when those two start to be separated, also I put on there his voice. And so this is where we're looking at it. You're going to start getting pulled in different directions without having that steady line or that plumb line, if you will, where Yahweh is calling us upon. Now let's go over here to Ezekiel. It's on page 805, but it's not going to come up on the screen. Okay, so it's back one book before Daniel. Page 805. Now I have a few verses to read. I'll read these here, 6 through 14 of chapter 20. Okay, on the bottom right of page 805. Everybody there? Alright, starting in verse 6. In that day lifted up my hand to them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into the land that I had looked out for them, flowing with milk and honey, that beauty it was of all lands. And I said unto them, every one the abomination of his eyes cast ye away, and you, and with the manufactured Elohims of Egypt, let it not be that you defile yourselves. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. But they rebelled against me, and they were not willing to hearken unto me. Every man, the abomination of their eyes, they cast not away. And the manufactured Elohims of Egypt, they forsook them not. Therefore spake I, pouring out mine indignation upon them, to bring mine anger to the end against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Who would like to read 9 through 14?
I will.
Okay, go ahead, honey.
Howbeit I wrote with effect for thy sake of mine own name, that it might be profaned before thy eyes of the nation in whose midst they were, before whose eyes I made myself known to them by bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Therefore brought I them forth out of the land of Egypt and caused them to come to the desert. Then gave I unto them my statutes, my regulations, caused I them to know, by the which the man that doeth them shall live. Moreover also my Sabbath gave I unto them to become a sign betwixt me and them, that might be known that I, Yah, was hallowing them. That the house of Israel rebelled against me in the desert, and my statutes walked they not, by which the man that doeth them shall live. My Sabbath also they profaned exceedingly. Therefore spake I, pouring out mine indignation upon them in the desert to make an end of it. Howbeit I wrought with effect for this sake of mine own name, that it should not be profaned in the eyes of the nations, as I have brought them forth.
That's it. And so, anywhere in there does it say, as long as it's not hurting anybody else, there's directions coming down, and it's not subject to debate. Okay, this is Yahweh's word. I will bless you. I put you in the land of milk and honey. Here's what you have to do. Over and over and over again, we see this. Okay, my regulations. And so I put a couple of things here, the highlights of that we just read. Let it not be that you defile yourself, so not willing to hearken under me. Then gave I unto my statutes and my regulations, caused them to know, by the which that man that doeth them shall live. And so this is what Yahweh's telling. This is his directions. And so our subjective nature or our desires are not in this. This is Yahweh's telling us, this is how you live. And if you do, then as long as you obey these statutes, then you will prosper. And so this is where the world completely sides against this. My statutes, the walk they not, and my regulations, they rejected. Okay? That's what we have in the world now. Truth and evidence. So here's a question. If new evidence comes out, does it change truth? No. Truth is always the truth. Okay, when we discover things, when they discovered gravity, you're like going, you really discovered it? It was always there. Okay? Gravity was always there. So all these things are there. We may find new evidence that shows something that we didn't understand, but the truth was always there. So just because somebody goes to a court and they don't get found guilty does not mean that they're found innocent. Okay? And if the evidence shows, I think about that with, you know, the whole global warming thing, climate change. The evidence shows that this is what's taking place, and now this is the truth. Okay? And I had to laugh because 24 hours before we were supposed to have 70% chance of ice and snow, it changed down to 20%. In 24 hours. And I'm like, well, now what happened? But I'm supposed to look at the other truth. Oh, look, focus on this truth because we're telling you that. And so truth and evidence have to work together. Truth is always the truth. Evidence does not change the truth. When truth is rearranged, starts the first crack in the foundation, okay? And this is where I'm saying that it's not, people are looking at their own truths and coming up with their own things that they want. New truths will reposition your thoughts, your values, morals, and your relationship with Yahweh and Christ, okay? And so when we're looking at these new truths, this is something that, you know, I don't think that we have really an issue with our group of people, okay? I really don't. But I look out there that the truths of what's taking place, what churches are getting involved into, what a lot of Christians are now accepting. Well, I would never do that, but you know what? If that works for them, so be it, okay? And that's where we kind of fall away. The adversary, or father of all lies, is always trying to steal away what Yahweh's given to us. And so we have to realize this, that the adversary knows his future, knows what's going to take place, and yet here we are, there's going to be a battle, and so he knows what his future is going to be. He knows he's already defeated. When the sacred secret came about, all of a sudden it put a whole bunch of more people out there. Now instead of having one Christ, we've got millions of Christ. So what do? We have to start to change the truth. Okay, and what's the truth? The truth is, we are not really Christ. Okay, Christ is God. Okay, well, that's not a truth. Okay, Christ is, you can't do what he did. He was the Son of God. And so all these things start to come out that the adversary has to try to steal away. That truth is still there. Okay, it's just that you try to manipulate that truth, and when people start to believe that, you've just taken the truth away. You've stolen it away. When we let the promises, the blessings fade away. So remember I did a teaching a while back ago about David and returning from Ziklag, and that was the battle where he had it. It was like 600 men, and they were coming back. Okay, they'd done battle. He was hiding from Saul, and they come back, and everything was gone. Okay, all their stuff was taken, the wives, children, livestock, and the place was burned up. Okay? And what happened? What happened with this? So David is being basically getting it from all sides. You talk about being under attack. Not only was your family gone, the people that you cared about, all of the men that were there, everybody's family's gone, and now they're turning also against him. So somebody want to read that there on the screen there for me, Samuel 36, 1 Samuel.
And David was in sore distress, for the people had spoken of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were embittered, every man for his own sons and for his own daughters. But David emboldened himself in Yahweh his Elohim.
That's it. And so with all those things, it's like, you know, instead of David fleeing going, what the heck? You know, what's taking place? And David had to be wondering what was going on as well. Everything's gone. I mean, everything is gone now. You're just left with a bunch of misery. And David's like, oh, golly, you know, how do I answer to these people? They were following me, and they've lost everything too. Okay? And this is where I come down to it, that it's time to take it back. We're going to attack. Okay? And this is going to be the offensive to come back and repossess what has been possessed by us, that has been stolen from us. So what happened after Goliath was defeated? Okay? We had a plunder. What do we do after a victory? So when we have a victory, it's time to plunder. And we are plundering. When I'm talking about plundering, I'm talking about plundering against the adversary. Many Christians have or will give up on never possess the place or position that Yahweh has for them. Because you get beat one time, you get beat two times, pretty soon you're like going, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this, I'll just sit quiet. Guess what? Adversary just stole away all your authority, stealing away your faith, and stealing away your purpose of walk, because you're not going to continue that battle. You've given in to that battle, he's done. Okay, put a check in that one there. This guy's ineffective now, he's inert. Next one, let's go to 1 Samuel. Okay, page 307. verses 50 through 55, and it's page 307 there. Who would like to read that? Milan, you want to read it? It's in the middle of 307 in the left column.
Over here. To the right. 307.
Else.
Thus David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistines and slew him. But sword was there none in the hand of David. So David ran and stood by the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off therewith his head. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was slain, they fled. Then arose the men of Israel and Judah and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as as thine entrance into Gath, and as far as the gates of Ekron. And the slain of the Philistines fell in the way of the two gates, even as far as Gath and as far as Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from hotly pursuing the Philistines and plundered their camps. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought him to Jerusalem, but his armor he put into his tent. Keep going?
Yeah, 255.
And when Saul saw David going forth to meet the Philistines, he said unto Abner, prince of the hosts, whose son is the young man Abner? And Abner said, by the life of my soul, O king, I know not.
Okay, and so think about this, the son. We're looking at the son. Okay, we're looking at a couple things here that took place. First of all, we know what took place with the Philistines. They had been taunting day and day. I remember Goliath came by every morning and every night to taunt them. Every morning and every night. Okay, so this has been going on. This was an enemy that had been stealing from them, who had been putting them in all kinds of bad positions. And so when they came after them to hotly pursue. So take back from the father of lies that which has been taken from you. David defeated the Philistine, but the battle was not over. Okay, there were still more battles, but this was one. Christ defeated the adversary, but the battle's not completely over. We know the ending, but we're still going through this. And what does that mean is this. When we don't know the truth, or we let the adversary convince us that we are not powerful and that we're not the seed, that we're of Christ, okay, that we're Yahweh's sons and daughters, then we become inert as well, and we are not able to function, and that's exactly where the adversary wants us. And this is where I'm saying for us to turn this and become effective. Shout and hotly pursuing. And this was it. This is what the Philistines did, which was pretty cool. You know, you think about that when you get that victory, to shout out, sound out in hoist, and go after them. Like, you know what? I'm not done. We're coming after you even more. I'm retaining everything that came back. I think about that. What was the movie? It was the Goonies, where they were in the well. Remember that? And they found all the coins, and the one kid's like going, they thought they were old coins. He picks it up and he goes, look at this, Martin Sheen. Like, Martin Sheen? She grabs out his hand, she goes, that's, who was it? Kennedy. That's Kennedy. He's like, well, he played Kennedy. And he goes, and then his whole thing, it was kind of funny about that, because he goes, well, I'm taking these back, because these were my wishes and none of them came true, and I'm taking them all back. I'm like, all right, go for it, kid. But that kind of reminded me as I was going through this, you know, the take-back portion of this. Yahushua has chased the enemy away from us so that the enemy has no power over us, except for what we allow, Now, the problem is that associations of ours or people that you come in contact with, the adversary can use those to be a thorn into somebody's side. And so you're having to deal with that. But if we allow the adversary, we give the adversary no room within ourselves. And so we're going to take back and reclaim those things that he's taken from us, which is a ton of them. And we'll kind of go over a few of them. Let's go flip over to Matthew here. Page 17.
Pretty cool picture.
Yeah, I love that. That was great. Yahoo, or Google has, if you just type in something, I just typed in kingdom for images and was pulling up all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, oh, that is really cool. And then I had one for like the last picture because I wanted to get some celestial things, and so I was trying to get the right wording for it, and I put it in there. I'm like, heavenly, and it said bodies, and I'm like going, okay, I clicked on that, and I'm like going, some of that's what I was looking for, some of it's not what I was looking for. So let's get rid of the bodies part. I'm like, okay, never mind. Yeah. So anyways, who would like to read? Melania, you're there on this one?
Yeah.
15 through 19. Go ahead, sweetie. You saith unto them?
Chapter 16.
Can we read it?
Go ahead. You got it, honey?
Oh, yeah. It is 16. Okay.
Yeah.
He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answering said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Yahushua answering said unto him, happy art thou, Simon Bar-Yonah, because flesh and blood revealed it not unto thee, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I also thee say, thou art Peter, and upon his rock will I build my assembly, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
One more.
And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whosoever thou shalt bind up upon the earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatsoever thou shalt loose upon the earth shall be loosened in the heavens.
That's it, that's it. And so we're looking at this. This is an identity thing here. So we're discussing identity and what authority, the keys of the kingdom, okay? The things that we're looking at on this here as our identity to take back, and the truth does what?
It sets you free.
Truth sets you free, okay? What does the say? What does the adversary want to do? He wants to bind you up with whatever he can. He'll throw out snares, he'll throw out glue, he'll throw out tar, he'll throw out whatever he can. Whatever's effective, it's coming at you. It's coming at you. And so to break free, the truth breaks us free. The adversary tries to bind everything back up. Okay, I will give thee the keys. The key's the instrument for opening the door. So when you see this, hence the word key is used as a superintendence. It's an emblem of power and authority. And that's the big thing is, the truth is, who are we? Okay? If you ask other Christians and you tell them that I can do everything that Christ can do and more, 99% of the church will tell you, who the heck is this guy? Somebody might want to call the cops here. Okay, this guy's crazy. Okay, and I'm like, well, I can show you chapter and verse, but nobody seems to care because the identity's been stolen from the Christian body. Okay? Not all, but from a good portion of it. And I will lay the house of David upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut. And shut, and no one shall open. Okay, and this is Isaiah. And so what we're referring to is here, we're talking about the coming seed. Okay, in Isaiah. We're talking about who's going to have the key, what's going to take place, the house of David upon his shoulder. Okay? And when Yahushua died, what happened to us?
We died
too. We weren't even born. How is that possible? So when you tell somebody, I was crucified with Christ, again, somebody like going, God, you definitely want to call the cops now. Okay, this guy's
old.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, dude, what's your secret? Said lots of Brussels sprouts. Yeah. When it was raised, 3 days later, guess what? The guy rode, were we. Okay, so this is kind of cool that this is, when we look at this, we weren't even around, okay? We weren't even around. And so when we look at the scriptures, we're reading this and we're saying, what happened? Okay, this is identity. This is truth showing where we are and so that we can understand exactly what is ours. With Christ have I been crucified, and living no longer am I, but living in me is Christ. While so far as I now do live in flesh, by faith I live. The faith of the Son of Elohim, or Yahweh, who loved me and gave himself up on my behalf. Okay, and that's it. And so when we look through there and we go through, it's constantly that thing that the adversary doesn't take a break. Okay? The adversary is constantly there to accuse, to slander, to lie to you, to steal from you, and to use other people that come across you that they'll be like, somebody will say something and you're like going, I don't really think that that was true. But then as you hear things like that, eventually things start to sink in and things start to, maybe that is true. Maybe I should I look at that too? And so this is where I'm like going, reiterating where our truth is, where our key is, where our foundation is, and the truth brings all that out to break those bonds for us to be able to live even a more faithful and righteous life and with power to Yahweh. We have freedom from the penalty of sin. And Christ paved the way for us to take back what the enemy has stolen. So again, truth and taking back. Do we have victory in Christ? Yeah. If we have victory, why does it seem that we're the ones always on the run? Okay, and again, I always think about that from the movie, a movie I love. It's the Romancing the Stone, an old one. But Danny DeVito running downhill in that open plain, and he's got his revolver. Danny DeVito running by himself is just funny. Okay, but he's running downhill, and he's being chased by a car, and he's shooting his pistol over his shoulder. And I'm like going, is that us? I've got victory! I'm free! Okay, and sometimes it does feel that way. But again, be shouting out, no, I will prevail. I will succeed. I am victorious. Not I'm going to be victorious. I am victorious. Okay? Let that tongue, that rudder, speak the correct portion. So what does it mean? We're always on the run. Yeah. Golly, look at the early apostles, you know, and the things, the struggles that they had and what they were doing. Always on the run, always trouble, and wonderful testimonies and blessings and showing of power. Okay? And the Philistines said, I reproach the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Okay? This is what the adversary does. Give me somebody. I want to fight. I do want to fight. I want to steal from you. I want to take from you. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and feared exceedingly. Okay? And were put, they were the ones put. So you think about this. Here comes David out there. You know, the guy there, you know, the people are like, yeah, golly, what are the odds on this guy? You know, you want to throw some, cast some lots or put a bet on this, because everybody's like going, you know, you're kind of standing there like a train wreck waiting to happen, you know, like watching an old man walk across ice. It's like, how many steps does this guy get before he goes down? And so they're watching this, and all of a sudden it turned from exceeding fear to what?
Victory.
Hot pursuit. Okay? Hot pursuit and shouting. And I'm like going, what a turnabout. What a turnabout. So I think about that. One person who's walking out there, who's in Christ's will, who's doing what Yahweh's telling him, and has the faith to run this power, is going to come out there and do this. And all of a sudden, those that were standing back, like, golly, don't offend this guy. Don't piss this person off. We don't want this guy. This has been horrible for us. You're going to really make things even worse. Comes out there, and the next thing you know, things are completely changed from one person, one person's action. Okay, why David? Hey, who would like to read this? How about you? You haven't read yet?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
So he sat and brought him in, that he was ruddy, striven with handsome eyes, and noble
mien.
Then said Yah, arise, anoint him, for he is he.
For this is he.
And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the spirit of Yah came almighty upon David from that day forward.
That's it. And so what happened? David had the spirit. And David knew his authority. David knew his power. And so when David's going against this guy, David was like, this is just somebody in the way. It didn't matter if he could have been 10 feet taller than he was, and it would have made zero difference to David. Okay? It would have made no difference to him. He could have been as broad as, you know, as a truck, and it wouldn't have made any difference to him. This is just a person in the way. And so if we let our eyes and our five senses deceive us, the truth is being pulled from us, because it's not the size of this person. It has nothing to do with that. It's our authority and what we have and our power, and it's the truth that we have in us that we're able to do this. Although we may be free from the penalty of sin, you may still be in bondage to the power of darkness. And so this is where we have to be able to say, all right, the adversary is here to put me in chains and bondage. And you think about that, I think one of the best examples is when you watch Lord of the Rings and the One King that was basically under the trance, okay? And I think to myself that he was completely just a puppet to the adversarial person in there. And when he was cast out and freed from it, that all of a sudden everything came back to him, his looks, his, what he saw, everything. And I think to myself, that's it. And so when somebody's in bondage for so long and in darkness for so long, that you may not even realize that you have this scales across your eyes that you never even realized was there until it's gone. So that's where it is for us to break those bonds, because those bonds are put on by the adversary. And we help put those on by not being in fellowship, not walking in righteousness, and then we allow those things. And we might not even realize it, that it's just a slow washing over. You know, you think about that. My truck's sitting out here on this dirt road. The ignition's kind of messed up on it. And so I go out there and look at it, and it's got like an eighth inch layer of dust on it, which just makes me laugh. half. And I'm like going, you know, in about another month, you'll probably have a quarter inch of dust laying on, you know. And so that's it. If we don't clean these things off, if we don't take care of it, this is what happens. Those things start to weigh down on you, and it starts to scale your eyes. And so this is where the truth is to break us free. It's really hard to chase the enemy when you are in bondage to him. Okay, if we have cited ourselves in things that we know that are incorrect, we are allowing it. We are letting a foothold in. It's really hard to take anything back from him when you're in agreement with him. Okay, and this is where we have to know the truth. When a new era comes out, and wow, that's if you say anything, that's intolerant, or you look really bad. That's not what most people believe. And guess what? You know what? You're like 1 of 10% of people. You're a hater. Okay, and that's what comes against us. And if we say, well, you know what, we'll just go ahead and just look the other way and let it be, then you become in agreement with the adversary, and that allows for you to be in bondage as well. There's no compromise or partnership with the adversary, okay? You've been lied to. Feel like you're not victorious, okay, in these things here, that these are the things that are taken from you, just the freedom to be able to do what Christ has told you. I mean, I think about the, you know, Aaron had mentioned that at the last fellowship about the conferences and the things that you go to, and just the energy that's just flowing in there, where you're just like going, golly, this is incredible. I want this all the time. I just feel so free, and so, I just feel lifted up almost above the world. When you're in those circumstances, I'm like going, and so we have to strive for those types of things. And when all of a sudden, when you realize, man, it's been a while since I felt that way. It's been a while since I've been just manifesting just one after another, day in and day out, where you're like going, golly. And so I think to myself, with us not sharing and not, you know, we've been freely given to, we're supposed to freely give as well. And so the truth, the joy, peace, love, spiritual matters, callings, health, positions in the body, finances, time, job, and your self-worth, where somebody looks at it and they're like, I just, you know, I can't do it. I've never been successful with it. Or, you know, I'm over 50 years old. Never done it. Can I do it at this point? I'm too old. And so none of those things. It's time for us to realize who you are in Christ. And what the scriptures say you are is different from what you say you are. And that's where it's important for us to be aligned with the scriptures and the truth and not where we are. And yes, people look at you like going, yeah, I know, but what about this? I've got this sin in my life and I'm fighting this so hard. It's tough. It's so tough. And I'm like going, just repent of it. Be done. Move aside. Cast it away. And whatever's leading you to it, start taking out those things, because it's just like fire. Okay? There's three elements of fire. When you remove one of those, there is no fire. And so it's the same thing in our lives. When we have something that's holding us down or bogging us down, there's going to be elements associated with it that if you start removing some of these elements are going to take away from that, and you're going to be able to battle and do a lot better job and cast that aside and realize who you are in Christ. So take back. Realize who you are. David knew Yahweh was fully able to give him the victory. Okay? He had the Spirit anointed on him. He was ready to go. Okay? He knew that. We should know that. Do we have the Spirit?
Amen.
Absolutely. We have the same Spirit. So again, we have that authority. Can we go against that? And so our eyes will deceive us, because trust me, I mean, I've never seen a guy that big. And so if I came against something like that, my senses, my five senses are going to be like going, what's his weak spots? What's his? No, that's not. I have to put all that aside. It would almost be better to blindfold myself and then go into battle with him so I don't see. Don't let my senses cloud up the truth that Yahweh's given me. Go into this with faith. And I'm like going, boy, you talk about faith then, I'm going to come at you and I'm going to blindfold myself, okay? Because I'm not going to let my senses deceive me. I'm coming at you, and I'm coming at you with Yahweh, okay, as you're coming at me with the adversary. Father of lies has been stealing from us a long time, and here's what happens. We get used to it, and we start to just accept it, that this is just life, and this is what other people will tell you. And this is, again, where you shelter your tongue so you don't say that. You know, it's even for now I see this. I mean, the people at work are like, you know, somebody's got the flu. Well, it's going around. Everybody's getting it. And I'm just like going, golly. You know, and I think to myself, I'm like going, I've been there before too. Where I'm like going, don't do that. Don't do that. The tongue. Speak the power. Speak the power. We go out there. And no, we're not going to do this. And so we accept these things. We get used to it. See others getting robbed. Okay? And so now you see it where somebody else, and you're like going, you know, you see a believer. Okay? okay, that's going through hard times. Something's going on. You're like going, man, you know, if I ever... So next thing happens, you come down with something like the other person had, and you think, well, you know, they had it, and they were a believer, and I had a lot of, you know, I had a lot of... I really admired this person, and they couldn't beat this. Who am I to beat it? Okay? And so I think about that, and I'm like, we can't do that. We can't let our senses get involved with that. It becomes accepted, and we take it. Let's flip over to John. First John. No, John. I'm sorry. Gospel of John. Okay?
Page 104.
Thank you. John 10:10. Okay, somebody read that for me, please.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
Just verse 10.
Just 10, please.
The thief cometh not, save that he may thief and slay and destroy. I came that life they might have, and above measure might have.
That's it. And so, again, for this, the above measure or abundance, some other translations will say abundance, okay? This is it. The parasols. Okay, and you see this, I highlighted some of these above, over and above. Now this is Christ saying, the thief come, save that he may, the thief slay and destroy. I came that I might, that they may have life and have it above measure. This is it. Above, over and above, exceedingly abundantly, supremely, superior, extraordinary, surpassing, more excellent. And so it's important for us to know that yeah, we're gonna have tough times. The scriptures tell us that as a believer, you're gonna have some tough times and there's gonna be some battles. The war has been fought, and the war has been won, but there are still battles that are going to take place before we get to that point. And so we have to realize that where we are. Okay, so what? So I failed here. I lost this little battle. Next battle, I'm going to kick some butt. Okay, I'm going to come into this knowing even more. Flip over to Jeremiah. Okay, page 749. 30 verse 16. Okay, everybody there? Isaiah, you want, or Elijah, why don't you read this for me?
Therefore, all who devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, all of them, into captivity shall depart. So shall they who plundered thee be plundered, and all who preyed upon thee will I deliver up as prey.
That's it. And so again, this is, when we're talking about this, we're talking about the plundering. I'm talking about the plundering to take back from the adversary what the adversary has been taking from us and been doing to us. So Samuel, 1 Samuel, we're getting close here. What's that?
307.
All right. Thank you, dude. 307. I'll tell you what, if you're there, are you there?
No.
I'll read it, 57 through 58. Once I get to it. Okay. And when David returned from smiting the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine. That had to be a fun thing. Hey! I brought show and tell. Like going, man, you know that dude's head had to stink before it was cut off.
Hey, dude. Yeah. Twice his size.
Yeah, think about that. He'd have to have a lot of hair and he'd be dragging this thing around, you know. I'd probably just drag it by the hair, you know, bouncing it along the way, you know, like a tether ball or something. Yeah, you get along, kick along the road. Okay, hey, I brought you something. And Abner took and brought him before Saul, and with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, O young man? And David said, son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Why? Why was this important? Because they're looking for the son. For who's getting this reward? Okay, who's getting this reward? And that was important for that. And so again, the son earned this. And now, guess what? There was a lot of blessings bestowed on the rest of those people, wasn't there?
No taxes for his dad.
Yeah, excellent. Whose son art thou? Whose son or daughter art thou? You're the son or daughter of the Most High, Yahweh. Okay? I think people lose track of this over and over again, that when you look out in the vastness of the planets and the Hubble telescope, they just retweaked that thing not too long ago, and how far it can see light years away and looking at these things. And you look at that and you're just like going, golly, this vast universe. And here we are on a planet that was created for fellowship with the Creator. like going, Dad, if nothing more, she'd be like, I'm just completely amazed that you would want this fellowship with me. You know, who am I? Well, that's what the adversary is telling you. Who are you? You know, you're vapor. Remember that? I've seen that in scripture. You're just a vapor. You'll be gone here not too long anyways, and I'll move on to the next one. We're like going, no, okay, I'm in this time and in this element right now, and I have a relationship with this creator, okay, and you are going to get smacked down really hard, okay? So this is where we're looking at it. We are the son and daughter. You have been purchased with a great price. Take back from the enemy and plunder his camp. Enemy knows the plans of Yahweh. You guys always have to remember this, that he knows what's going to happen. And even these things, the anointings, the positions. So the adversary, when Christ was crucified, didn't understand what was about to take place. And almost probably was celebration within his camps. Okay? And then all of a sudden, when the sacred secrets revealed, it's just you magnified everything out. And now it's overtime. Adversary has to go into overtime now to combat what's just taken place, because Christ was a huge thorn to the adversary and will crush his head. Okay? So that being said, wreak as much havoc in the meantime until he knows his final destiny. And so for us, we're going to come back in there and we're going to battle you. We're going against you. Okay, to not destroy, to get the promises that Yahweh's given us. Christ bought our victory. Okay, by faith, take it and possess it. So I think this is here our last one here. Let's flip over to 1 John. All right, 1 John, page 248. Who would like to read that? 4 and 5.
I will.
Okay, you're up. Give everybody a second, page 248.
Because whatsoever hath been born of God overcometh the world, and this is that the story that hath overcome the world, our faith. And who is that overcometh the world? That saith, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
That's it. And so that's what you're saying. And so to overcometh, the victory to overcometh, okay, that's for us where we take back, okay? We have to know our position. We have to know what our authority is. We have to know what the truth is, because when the world tells us you can't do this, Scriptures tells us something completely different, okay? If you listen to what the world tells you, adversary wins and just put bondage around your marvelous works and things that are available for you to do if we are going to take what the Word says, or the world versus what the Word says. All right, so ye are of God, Elway, dear children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than is in the world. Okay, that's also 1 John. Let's flip back a page here to 3, 7, and 8. Okay? It's actually two pages. Who would like to read that for me?
I will. Dear children, let no one lead you astray. He that is doing righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He that is committing sin is of the adversary, because from the beginning the adversary is sinning. To this end was the Son of Yahweh made manifest, in order that he might undo the works of the adversary.
That's it. That he may be able to undo the works. And so that's where we are. We are fellow heirs. We are seated in the heavenlies. We are with Christ, okay? We are brothers of Christ. We have that. We are the body of Christ. Obviously, the head doesn't function without the body. And so we are the body. We are the working element of it to do what Christ has done. And Christ has overcome it, so we are to overcome it. Father of all lies, enemy, concealing, keeping in bondage, not to be allowing it. Do not be deceived by the father's lies, but plunder the enemy's camp.
Amen.
Okay? And that's it. So I'll go ahead and close here. Again, as I was thinking about that, I'm like going, it's so important, because as things are coming out, it just seems that there's more and more division. Where, you know, in the past, a lot of people, you know, you'd have people that I'd always laugh, you know, the pastors would joke and talk about, you know, church for Christmas and church for Easter, guys, what they say. Yeah, they just fill up. And so it's the two time a year where people come in, and I'm like going, and what happens in the meantime is you get all the other stuff, all the things that's taking place, and what's being taught in school, and what's being taught in movies, and what's being pushed out all over the place, okay? And it's we're just bombarded by all this junk. And if we let these things start sticking to us and cling to us, it weighs us down, and then we become encumbered by those things. And then you go to church, and if the person's still speaking the word now sounds offensive because of all this extra junk that you're carrying around. And I'm like going, yeah, that's exactly right. And so if you're going all the time and you're hearing the truth, it's not going to sound offensive. It's when you start breaking away and cutting those things off, that tie with Yahweh and His Word, that now when you come back to it, man, that sounds pretty brutal. That's pretty harsh. I don't like that. I think I'll take this part of it, but I'm not doing that part of it. And then now I'll do this part of it, but not this part of it. And we just keep growing and growing that way. So it's just, anyways, I'll go ahead and close. Yahweh, we thank You for... thank You for Your words. We thank You for Your written word that we're able to just glean from it continually, that as we read it over and over and over again, Yahweh, that it's just a new light shining, that new stories come to light, treasures are discovered within it. And we just thank You for that as we have a heart to master Your word and to discover the things in Your word, that You just open those things up to us and just shine light upon them, that we're able to have understanding, and that as a father and a son, or father and daughter, that we are discovering together, which is great excitement. We thank You for this. We thank You for the believers here. We thank You for all those men and women in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life. For those righteous ones, we just intercede that they multiply, and that Your wisdom is upon them. We thank You for all of them, for blessing our nation. We just thank You for that, Yahweh, that even with the wickedness, that there are many, many righteous people who are fighting against this wickedness, and that we have not given up, and we are not going to surrender or succumb to the ways or the tide of this era, but we will fight against it and go up current in the process of doing that. We thank You for the words You give, and for every believer here, and we just speak this all through Your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, I have created a hunger within you, and that hunger is to get you to work and to discover me and to find me. And so do not fight this hunger that it is something negative, but it is a hunger that I have created all men with, that this hunger creates you to work and to go out and to move, and not to be slothful, but to be enduring and to be seeking out. And my word is justice, and my word is righteousness. And the chesed that I have made between man, that I will continually favor you while you are in favor with me and doing my wills and obeying the regulations that I have put before you. So learn these and know these, for these are the rules, as it were, that you must know in order to be well pleasing and to come before me. But come down before me on bended knee, that I will open this up and I will show you the pages, and I will begin as a slow journey, as a father and son, as a child learning to walk. I will be with you, holding your hand. Amen. All right. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.